Early this month, the Grand Egyptian Museum officially opened its doors in Cairo, just 2 kilometres from the pyramids of Giza, more than 30 years after planning for the venue known as the Gem began. It's billed as the largest global museum dedicated to ancient Egyptian civilization from prehistory to the end of the Greek and Roman periods. And like the Sydney Opera House, it is a national institution and monument that was designed via an open international architecture competition held by the Egyptian Ministry of Culture. And back in 2003, more than 1,500 entries from 83 different countries were whittled down to one winner, which was a small architectural partnership from Dublin, Ireland, called Hinahan Peng. And founding partner Roisin Hinahan joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Roisin.
Thank you so much.
Now, you won the competition to design the Grand Egyptian Museum. I've got to ask you, what was the grandest project that you'd designed before that?
Well, we only had one project before that, which was a civic offices in outside Dublin, about 50 miles outside Dublin.
Amazing. So it was quite the transformation as a project. What made you decide to enter the competition?
We had started in competitions. We had been working in New York and we had always been doing competitions. In fact, the project we won in Dublin was won through competition. So when this came up, it was an open competition. It wasn't so much. So the requirements were not so much. So we thought, yeah, we'll do it. And, you know.
Well, the rest is architectural history. What was it like when you found out that you'd actually won?
It was amazing. I mean, it was two stages. So the first stage, they went from 1,500 to 20. And at the time, everything came by post. We were in an office, in somebody else's office. We had a room rented from another architect. And the postman was like, it was winter, it was November, and he didn't want to bring the letter in. So he asked somebody going into the building to bring it up to us. So that was, first of all, that was quite amazing to get down to the last 20 and to get the letter. Mm. And then when we won, we actually called back. Because when Dr. Mansour called, he said, you've got first prize. And I put down the phone and then I was thinking, oh, there's a Supreme Council of Antiquities. Maybe we didn't win first prize. Maybe we won a prize. So I called back.
And then the daunting, no doubt, reality must have dawned on you that you had this massive task to undertake. It's an extraordinary building and it's had a long history getting to the opening this month. I wonder if you could describe for us your vision for the Grand Egyptian Museum and how you went about converting that vision into an architectural design.
Yeah. So it's very close to the pyramids. The pyramids are up at a high level. They're about there's a 50-meter difference across the site, so about 150 feet. It's where the Nile Valley meets the desert. So the pyramids are at the higher level. They're at the desert level. We decided that the building should not affect the silhouette of the pyramids as you see it as you're approaching from Cairo. So we kept our building at the level between the desert and the Nile Valley. So the way we describe it, we made a new cliff edge to that pyramid plateau, and then it took a straight line from the pyramids to the site, and then we unfolded that line to create a fan. And what that does is it allows you, when you're within the museum, to see the pyramids. Because one of the things that struck us was that if the site is so close to the pyramids, it was an opportunity to see that pharaonic collection against the most famous built objects of the pharaonic era. So you really feel you're in the same space. So for people who come to Cairo, you're seeing these objects in the place that they're made, and you're really aware of that because you're always conscious of this silhouette of the pyramids just visible through the windows.
Roisin, what are the particular challenges of designing such a literally grand building in a place like Cairo?
The project went through a lot of changes. I mean, I think some of this was just, it's a huge project and requires a lot of a lot of people involved. It also occurred at quite a turbulent period. So we finished our drawings around 2009, and then there was some appointment of project managers. The contractor was appointed in 2012. But that was a time when there was the global financial crisis. There was the Arab Spring. There was a lot of governmental change in Egypt. Towards the end, there was COVID-19. So there were challenges that were kind of specific to the time and just the scale of the project. It went over such a long period. For us, maybe working in Egypt, we worked with a team in Cairo. We had the benefit of big engineering practices supporting us, Arab, who were also were key with the Sydney Opera House. They gave a lot of support to us, as did Bureau Hapold. So I think maybe because we were quite small, we realized very early on we needed to get people to help us who had experience of these larger global projects. So I think maybe working in Egypt was less of an issue. It was more the scale of the project and the duration that might have been a bit challenging.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Roisin Hinahan of the Dublin-based architectural firm Hinahan Peng, which won the international design competition to design the Grand Egyptian Museum, which is opened in 2025. Roisin, when did your active involvement in the building of the project end, and why did that occur?
So in the Middle East, in that region, it's very, very common that the design team finishes up the drawings, the handover to the contractor, and then another team come in during construction. And that was the situation with this project. So we finished all the drawings in 2009. We handed over, and then the contractor's team had their own architectural team. So our active involvement finished then.
And with massive, iconic buildings like this, it's not unknown for there to be all sorts of changes along the way. So looking at the building that's opened in 2025, how similar is it to your original design? What are the key things that you've noticed as changes?
So the underlying structure is there. The building relates to the pyramids, that view to the pyramids, the big stair, the way the entrance is designed is an open space. That's all completely faithful to the original. The facade has changed and some of the landscaping details have changed.
And how do you feel about those changes, Roisin?
The principles are intact. Probably not quite what we'd have done, but we kind of have to step back and see the big picture here.
Yes, well, stepping back metaphorically is one thing. Have you literally stepped forward and seen the finished building?
I have not seen it as yet. No, I have not seen it as yet. Well, it's just opened.
True.
And it's very, very crowded. I was in contact with some of our colleagues in Cairo, and they were saying, oh, we're going to let... you know, the crowds dissipate a bit.
Well, were you able to watch the footage of the opening of the museum? What did you think of it as an event?
It was quite spectacular. It was really nice to see that aerial view where you can see the museum and the alignment with the pyramids, because all those years ago, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, you in the pyramids and this kind of axis, because we were really focused on getting that alignment. So it was actually really nice to see a lot of those shots from above where you see the relationship.
It really does sound like a once in a lifetime professional opportunity. In that sense, is it so unique that it has to sit in its own category in terms of the work that you do and, I suppose, learnings that you can apply elsewhere? I don't suppose that you often face precisely the same challenges as you would have on the Grand Egyptian Museum.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the scale of it is extraordinary, and that just itself brings a huge, you know, a very particular set of challenges. I do think, though, that there were a lot of things that we picked up when we were designing it. One of the things that maybe not completely apparent is that some of the spaces that appear to be internal are actually just shaded spaces. So We say that that big courtyard where the big statue of Ramses, that's actually a shaded space, it's an external space. What we were trying to do was reduce the amount of internal conditioned space because it is an enormous building. What we did not want to do was to leave a legacy of a building that was so expensive to operate. So by trying to use shade, trying to reduce internal areas, you're reducing the amount of conditioned space. So there are things like that that we brought into other projects. And of course, just thinking about how visitors move through museums, through landscape spaces, that's something we've definitely brought into other projects.
Were there particular aspects of Egyptian architectural tradition or Egyptian culture that were either built into your design from the outset or that you then incorporated after winning the design competition?
Well, I suppose at a number of different levels. Mm. So the building is quite layered. You don't just walk in through a door and suddenly your Tutankhamun's mask is there. And I think that came from looking at some of the temples where there's a very layered approach into it. Then, you know, very practically, the building is very, very heavy. And it would have been easier from an engineering point of view to have built it from steel. It's very heavy because we wanted a very heavy structure. But, you know, you want a museum environment to slowly change for its environmental stability. So everything is built in concrete. It works very, very well in the environment of Egypt. The shade is also very much part of trying to work in that climate. And then I suppose the other thing is that culturally in that region and in Cairo, you know, if you arrive in Cairo at midnight, like the British Airways flight from London arrives around midnight and the roads are always packed. And I was like, how could this be? You know, it's like it's midnight, people go home. But people come out at night. So I think that was also when we were thinking about the gardens and the restaurants, trying to think about how this then would change over the course of a day in the evening and the life that it would attract in the evening. So, you know, there were kind of different layers of knowledge about Egypt.
It really is an extraordinary project and it must have been both awesome and daunting to be part of. Now, with the benefit of an open building, but also being able to look back on the whole experience, how do you personally look back on it, Roshi?
For us, it was absolutely transformative. We were an office of 3-4 people when we won this project. We had never done a museum, so it was a huge learning curve. However, when you're presented with that opportunity, you just throw yourself into it. And, you know, you spend every waking hour thinking about it. And we had an opportunity to work with the most wonderful people. We had an amazing team. Our engineering team, our landscape architects, West 8, the Cairo-based team, because everybody wanted to work on the project. So it was like, it was a dream. You know, you just had some of the most engaged, most fascinating people possible work on it. It was amazing.
Well, it's been fantastic to hear about the process from even before the ground up. Roisin Hinahan, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And Roisin is the founding partner of Hinahan Peng, which is the Dublin-based architecture firm that designed the now-open Grand Egyptian Museum.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.